As a church, what we do believe the Lord has called us to is to love God and love others and to make disciples. Pretty simple, but has ramifications and applications and implications for all of us as followers of Jesus and those who are part of this amazing, amazing community. We believe in part of that is for us to be the priesthood of all believers. And so it's not just the paid staff who get to minister, but actually the paid staff are paid to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And what that means is that all of us get to be a part of this, whether it is providing financially, but more than that, the Lauras of the world bringing their gifts to come and host and to lead us in the mornings, the Sharons of the world who just have access to the throne of God and bring the prophetic unctions to us, somehow seems to speak more to her than many of us. But we praise God for that, and we need all the gifts to bear upon us. And so I want to be an encouragement. I hope it's an encouragement to you that there is a space for you to function in this church. And we want you to bring your gifts. Some of us need to discover them, but God is incredibly kind in adding to us the gifts that we need. And we're a church that wants to focus on family, on the bottom right there, both blood and spiritual family, but also to reach out to the community around us. We don't want to just focus inside these four walls and give each other thumbs up. We want to pour our hearts and our lives and our finances out into the community around us that we can be a blessing to them. So in John, Jesus says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples." And so if we're called to make disciples, he says, "By this you will know because of your love for one another." And I think that speaks of fellowship, it speaks of community. And I think if we have to look at this and go, where has the grace of God really been upon this church? I want to say, I think that's where the grace of God is. This is an incredibly loving community. When I hear of needs, and like Jonah says, we've got funds set aside that we really want to pour into the uplifting of this community to help where the needs are. So often I hear of needs being met outside of that. And so we've got this budget, but people are helping anyway. And you're like, oh, this is amazing. And there really is such a sincere love for one another. And I think that really is a grace that the Holy Spirit has poured upon us as a community. And so we want to keep that up. We really want to be a people that genuinely and honestly loves one another. But Jesus also says in Matthew that he says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And so we're called to love one another, but we're also called to be a people that takes the gospel out to those who don't yet know Jesus. And Matt this morning at prayer was just really praying again, Lord, would you send the lost? All of us were lost, but you found us. And there still are so many who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And our desire is not just to love one another, but for this community to be a church that reaches the lost and invites them into the family of Jesus and for them to find an eternal Savior in Him. And so we want to be a church that is always growing, always loving more upon one another, but also reaching more out to the community. We have a God who, in His creation, He makes stuff, and that stuff grows, yes? He cares for it, He provides for it, but we have a God who grows, and He grows things. And the scriptures talk about some of us planting, some of us watering, but God bringing the growth. And so it's not for us to try and force growth, it's for us to be faithful. And so when God says, bring Celeste and bring Matt onto staff, we go, yes, Lord, okay, but we need a little bit of growth here. But we walk in faithfulness and trust in Him. He then brings the growth. And so we want to be a community that trusts the faithfulness of God, but walks in obedience to Him. And that applies to all of us. Whatever gift God has placed in you, whatever He's saying, I want you to bring that gift to this church. For Jimmy and Jill to move all the way from Joburg to the promised land and to bring their gifts to bear upon Liberty and upon this community was an act of faith. They left the job that was bringing them income to come and say, God, we're walking in faith because you've called us to this. But it's a step of faith. And I'm saying, God, you've got to grow this ministry. You've got to grow your provision for us. But they're moving in faith. And the call for all of us is to be a people who walk in faith as God calls us. And so we want to grow in fellowship for one another, but we also want to grow in mission and reaching the Helderberg Basin. I would love, as that scripture talks about the church in the early church, when they turned the city upside down, I would love for that to be us, yes? To turn the city upside down for Jesus. Not just because we want to cause chaos. If we have to do that, that's fine. But we want the gospel to turn the city upside down, that people may come to a place of loving Jesus and loving one another. There's so many people who do not know and have not experienced the kind of love that this community experiences one for another. And some of us don't have that from our very own blood families, and you get to experience that from the spiritual family, and it really is a beautiful thing. It echoes what Michiel won't even remember. He said this. I took notes from him a few years ago. And something he said is that mission is encapsulated by love. Mission must be encapsulated by love. It's not just getting out there to see people saved. We do it because the love of Christ is in us. And our love extends to them because we want them to experience love both from us but also from God. And so that's what motivates us and that's what moves us. A heart that yearns for the lost to be saved. And I hope that the Lord is that in your heart. Yes? Anyone happy with the amount of people being saved in the world? We should never be happy with that. People need a Savior, and we have received the grace and the incredibly merciful gift from God that we bowed our knee before Him. But there's so many others out there who need to come to meet Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And so we want to be a church that reaches out, but we also want to be a church that equips us for the work of ministry. We see the Ephesians 4 gifts, which are given to the church by Jesus for the equipping of the saints for the ministry which they must endure. And so Ephesians 4 says that the gifts He gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up this body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. And so what that means is that every part of us, every ligament, every muscle in this body needs to bring its contribution in whatever way the Lord determines. And that's manifold, yes? Because we serve a manifold God. We're never, I don't think for all of eternity, we're going to stand in the presence of God and we're just never going to get it. He's just so massive. For thousands and thousands of years, we're going to be amazed at one of His characteristics, and then He's going to turn half a degree and we're going to be like, oh, what? For the next 10,000 years. He's just so vast and magnificent. And so there's a vast and magnificent set of gifts sitting here in Liberty. We can't all be like Jono. We can't all be like Matt. You've been shaped and gifted a specific way to bring your contribution to this church. And it has nothing to do with your amount of money. There are those who are wealthier than others and in the kindness of the Lord have a heart to contribute to this church. But Jesus never affirmed the amount of money, did He? No. He affirmed the heart with which it was given. And the same applies for all of our gifts. It's the heart with which we bring it to see this body built up, to lay ourselves down. Easy to step up here, hey, Laura, and lead the meeting. So easy. No, she stresses out every week. It's amazing. I love it. But she's growing and maturing, but she's willing to bring her gift to bear on this body no matter the cost to her. And all of us have the freedom and the responsibility to do that. But the five gifts that they speak about here, the apostolic and the prophetic, so Liberty was the huge beneficiary of Pete Howard Brown's apostolic gift, which launched this church back in the day. In many ways, was incredibly instrumental in that. We went in 2018, I think many of you would remember, when we went camping in Betty's Bay with the baboons. And in 2018 was where, as a church, we sought the Lord out prophetically, which is where we came up with this. This idea of saying, God, what do You want for us as a community and how do You want us to fulfill the mission and the mandate which You have for us? And that was, I think, a year or 2 years before COVID, and so life happened, and here we are, still alive and well, and the Lord being incredibly kind to us. But it's time for us to go, Lord, what season do You have us in and where are You taking us? And so with all of this in mind, the season that we came from is to bring Celeste and Matt on staff, because of those five gifts, we want to ensure that as the apostolic and the prophetic and the evangelists do their work and equip the saints for the work of ministry, we want to make sure that our teaching and our pastoral care is strong in this church, yes? When we're calling people to Christ, we want to help them be sanctified and to sort out their stuff. And not just to say, bow your knee to Jesus and good luck with the rest of your life. No, surely not. We want to love one another. We want people to grow and to mature. And Paul writes to the Philippians, and the reason we focus on ensuring that the teaching is strong is because he writes to the Philippians and he says, it is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. What he's saying is that for all that we have as a community to walk in obedience to God, the thing that's going to ensure that we don't waste our time and busy ourselves up with the wrong stuff is to make sure that we're holding fast to the word of life. And so that's why it's important for us to bring the Matts and the Celestes of the world onto staff and to say, help us make sure that through all the manifold ministries that God is going to grow in this church, that we never veer away from the word of life. Because otherwise we get into some weird stuff, and there is weird stuff out there. And we want to make sure that we don't sway by every wind and doctrine, but that we hold fast to this word of life. And so that's our mandate for Matt, is to make sure that as the years progress and the Lord takes us into the future, that we stay true to this word of life, to Jesus, to the scriptures. But then we want to build on that and to say, Lord, with that in place, we want to ensure that this church is well pastored and well cared for. And that's why our hearts are pouring into Liberty Care. That's why we want those little babies well taken care of, because it's an injustice to the world. And we want to throw not just our energy and our efforts, but our money. We want to throw everything we have to ensure that those little babies experience the love and the justice of God, being brought into a family where they're well received, where they can feel that acceptance which everyone deserves to have because they're created by God in His image. And to be abandoned is not the way of the Lord. And so as a church, we want to come around that and go, no, let's fix what's wrong here. By the strength that God gives us and the provision that God gives us, let's fix what's broken in this world. And that we may not run in vain. Greg Garrett, I spoke to him a few weeks ago. He leads a church up in Joburg. He said that he asked the question, what land do I walk in for others to be the beneficiaries? Carla's walking into a land where the babies become the beneficiaries of what she's taken faith in God to walk into. And all of us get to be that. We get to go, God, what land do you have for me that others may be the beneficiaries? Because that's the expression of our ministry. It's love for others. It's not, Lord, what can I get out of this ministry, yes? Can I be a big shot? I hope I can make lots of money out of this. No, it's, Lord, what benefit can I be to those around me as you call me into the call that you have for my life? And so, with them in place, we want to look to ensure that we strengthen up pastoral care. And so, we want to look at Jimmy and Jill's ministry into marriages. I mean, any family that wants to be in a strong place has to have a strong marriage. And so we want to invest into that and see the Lord do mighty work there. We want to invest in new leaders, new life group leaders. We want to identify them. We want to equip them. We want to train them up that they may walk into a future for the benefit of those around them. We want to equip all of us with basic pastoring skills. And so we found some places around South Africa that equip saints just for basic pastoral care, that we can help people just do the basic stuff that we are challenged with as Christians in a world. But then obviously for where care is more specialized care or more professional care is needed, that we also surround ourselves with that care, that we can shepherd and lean one another into those spaces, that we can be well pastored. We're teaming up with Lex Lozidis from Jubilee Church in Cape Town. He wrote a little book called New Beginnings, which just helps those who are new to the faith just understand what it means to follow Jesus. And incredibly generous of him, we asked him whether we could print some of the books, and he said, please print them for free. The only thing he requires of us is to give him feedback as to how we've used them and the impact that it's made into people's lives. Incredibly generous of him to team up with us in that and to say, be blessed, and may it bless your ministry. And so we are incredibly grateful for that. And so it requires the priesthood of all of us. Yes? We say yes, but then we're a little bit nervous because it means we've got to do something. Yes? But you know, the feedback that Jonah gives on the finances isn't just about the money. Matt did an amazing job of helping us understand that actually faith is about action. We can say that we trust the Lord's provision, but if we're unwilling to be generous, we don't trust the Lord's provision. So the fact that we, even if we give 1 rand to somebody else or to a ministry that we support, what that is actually an act of faith saying, God, I truly believe your word. You said that you will provide. You said that if I give to the poor that you will repay. And so it's that action that actually says, you know what, God, I believe you. I'm not just going to say I believe you. I'm going to act like I believe you. And so this isn't going to be a call for you to throw more money at the church. It's not going to be that. What this is a call for us to go, Lord, in this season, what do you have for me? Where are you calling me into? And then to actually walk in it. Because it's one thing to know it, but it's a whole other thing to actually walk in obedience to it. And so I forgot, I actually wanted to welcome the Kovarises back from sabbatical. So amazing to have them back. But part of that was to sit with them and go, what do you feel that the Lord has for you in this season? And then to go, actually, you know what, Lord, let's usher them into that space. And so each of us has to ask the Lord, the current season you have me in, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to come alongside Carla and bring help and support? Do you want me to support the musos, the sound team, the media, coffee, Sundays? Lord, is it in the week? Do you want me to spend time with the older folk? Do you want to spend time with the younger folk, with married, single? What do you want me to do, Lord? Because without your sinew and your muscle pulling in this church, we're not going to grow to the full amount that the Lord intends. We're going to have a big bicep and no legs day, right? And it makes you look weird. And so we want all of us to be operating together in all that God has for us. Because the scripture says that each of us must lead the life that God has called us to. What that means is your life's going to look different to mine, and that's okay. You don't have to try to be me. Getting my job isn't the ultimate end of your life. God has a specific call for you. And our job as a community is to figure out that thing and to free you, to release you, to equip you, to come alongside you, to walk in that space. That the fullness of God may be known and manifested to this world. Because growth is natural if we're watering and planting. That's all we've got to do. And to trust God for the growth. And so we exist to love God, to love people, and to make disciples. Very basic. But the trick is for you to find the lane that God has placed you in to love God, love others, and to make disciples. My space of doing that is going to look different to Renee's. But when he knows that lane is to go in this thing, Lord, for this season, I want to love you, I want to love others, and I want to make disciples, and me myself be made into a disciple. And so the journey is a part that a band of people are coming together to go, for this season, Lord, we want to focus on the youth. And we want to help them to love you, to love others, and to make disciples. And to pour our energy and our efforts into that space. Because we're all part of this grand mission of Jesus. It's a massive mission, yes? Loving God, easy, most of the time. Loving others, not so easy. That certainly requires the power of the Holy Spirit. And to make disciples is also not easy. You invest into people. You pour your life into people, yes? And what do they say? Middle finger, I'm out. And what do? Okay, Lord, we continue in faithfulness. We lean on you because you've called us to do this. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. What it means is the Holy Spirit's going to empower you to do it. And when we do this together, it certainly makes the job not necessarily easier, but it makes it far more enjoyable. This is an incredibly joyful church, and I'm so grateful for that because life is incredibly tough. And so it's good to laugh every once in a while amidst the struggles and the pain. So through this, I do want to commend you. So this isn't a preach about going, let's do this because we're not doing it. I want to come alongside these scriptures and to say, I want to affirm you, Liberty, for stepping out in faith and for practically putting your hands forward. Whether it's in financial giving, whether it's every other Sunday, Gerrit's on the media, but to practically give ourselves to the work that the Lord has called us to. Paul writes to the Corinthian church and he calls them to contribute to the needs of the other saints in Jerusalem. But I actually want to use this as an affirmation for us as Liberty. He writes this and he says, so 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5 to 7. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for this bountiful gift that you had promised, so that it may be ready as a voluntary gift and not as an extortion. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up in your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I want to affirm you all for being cheerful givers in this church. Not just, when I say that, not just money, but the serving in the kitchen. I mean, I know when you give coffee to people, it's very easy for everyone to be cheerful. That's an easy ministry, that one. But for all the places in your life groups, it's not always easy to be in a life group with Anton. It's hard work. Back the first day and I go straight for you. I'm sorry, bro. But in those spaces that we bring joy, and none of us are doing it under compulsion. No one's gripping you and forcing you to be there, not that I know of, but that you're there because you want to be there. This is a church that wants to serve the Lord and wants to love on one another. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, not just your bank account, for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. And I want to say that this church is abundant in good works, and that the Lord is blessing us, even with financial generosity. He's blessing us with strong families. He's blessing us with healthy children. He's blessing. We don't deserve any of this. Even if we gave everything and received absolutely nothing back, that's what we deserve. But God is so generous and kind to us that we get to be part of a community like this where there is unity that is very rare. It really is rare to have a community that is so united in love. And that's the goodness of God, bringing his righteousness as repayment to say, well done, my good and faithful servants. My Holy Spirit's at work in you to cause us to walk in righteousness. And he's incredibly kind for doing that. He quotes, Paul actually quotes Psalm 112, which says, praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the dark as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have distributed freely. They have given to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry. They gnash their teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked comes to nothing. And that's who we are, a people in the hands of a mighty God. And Paul continues and says, for the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, and so your generosity not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. And so even as Jonah was giving feedback, there was thanksgiving to God. That's the overflow of a generous community, that God gets thanks. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. So we confess Christ, but then our lives are shaped around that generosity of confession. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. What an amazing God, right? What an amazing community. And I know you don't want to say yes because there's a little bit of humility and pride going on there, right? But this is an outworking of the Spirit at work in his people. And so we can give thanks to God. If you don't want to go like, yes, I'm a hero for being so generous, you can look at everyone else around you and go, how amazing that the Lord has worked through Richard to be generous towards those. Busy man, travels a lot, but generous toward his life group. Right? There's so many. We're all operating on very different levels in all different spaces of life, but all being generous in various ways and spaces. And I give thanks to God for that. I really do.